This episode is sponsored by Jacobson Real Estate Company. Are you ready to find your dream home? Or maybe you're thinking about selling and want the best deal possible? Well, look no further. At Jacobson Real Estate Company, we make buying or selling your home smooth, stress-free, and exciting. With 50-plus years of experience and a deep knowledge of the Winona, Minnesota area market, we specialize in turning your real estate goals into reality. Whether it's finding that perfect neighborhood, negotiating top dollar for your property, or answering all of your questions along the way, we're here for you. Plus, with our personalized approach, you're not just a client, you're family. So why wait? Let Jacobson Real Estate Company open the door to your future. Call us today at 507-313-2716 or visit our website at jacobsonrealestatecompany.com. Because your next chapter starts here. Buy, sell, invest. Jacobson Real Estate Company. Welcome to this week's edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and I have a fella here that just absolutely loves our hometown of Winona, Minnesota. His name is Joe Hughes. Joe, thank you for coming on in.
All right. And thanks for having me, Chris.
And you brought us tree huggers, cannabis, blue raspberry, craft. Oh, my gosh.
All right.
And you said you had to go to Wisconsin to get these, huh?
Spare no trouble.
Ooh. Cheers, Joe.
Nuts throw of you, Chris.
Okay, now I've never had this one before. Ooh, woo, that's good. I like that one.
It's best drunk. You gotta drink it cold, man.
Now, the only other time I've had THC on here was with your buddy Merle.
Uh-huh.
And so now this is a new one that you brought, and he's got 20 milligrams, not 10.
These are 20 milligrams, not 10. Well, Merle, my friend and reading partner, Merle Hansen, and I were at something out on 3rd Street, you know, about writers and stuff. I'm not a writer. I'm a talker so far. And Merle was looking over at the Rippled Leaf, which is a THC, yes. You know, and he says, I'm going to go get some seltzers. And I said, I've never had a seltzer. He said, well, then I'll go get you one. And we drank a couple seltzers out there, and holy bleep, it was really, really, really great. I was just thinking, whoa, I just love this state of Minnesota.
Now, this says it's brewed by 608 Brewing, and I've had beer of theirs on here before, too.
It just freaks me out. I didn't put two and two together. You see, it takes me a while to put two and two together, Chris. And they have this... co-op downtown.
Yep.
And it's like every other co-op, you know, like we have Bluff Country Co-op here in Winona.
Sure.
I'm friends with one of the founders, Michael Doyle, who is somebody you should have on here sometime.
Michael Doyle, come on.
Michael Doyle, get your butt on here.
Actually, you know what? Last week's episode, I went and got kombucha from the co-op here in Winona.
Oh, it has this fascinating history that Michael can tell you all about, but now I'm going to tell you to me. It's all a bunch of stoners going, ohm, 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 because I'm not quite of that generation, right? And it's the same thing with the co-op downtown La Crosse. You know, you go in there, it's just like Bluff Country. You know, it's all really great. You can just see the old folks, you know, and all that. But, yeah, they also have this arm that, you know, makes bitchin' seltzers.
And so this is from the Rippled Leaf in town?
Oh, no. Rippled Leaf carries these.
Oh, this
is where I got the taste.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some happy day they will be able to be a dispensary.
Okay. We're working on those.
They're actually, I understand that they've been working for this for some time. I've spoken to the guy who runs the place, not a lot, but I mean, they're going about this the right way. They've had their storefront out there on 3rd Street, making friends, selling things, and when the time comes and they jump through all the hurdles, they will be ready to go.
Okay. Now, I got a question for you because I want to go over that. I know that's not even part of what you wanted to talk about, but this is going to be good because I saw you get excited about when they can start becoming a dispensary, and you got excited about it.
Yeah.
What about that excites you?
Okay, well, I'm a recovering alcoholic. Okay. I've been sober for 7 years this month, and it's a really big deal in my life. I moved to Winona. You know, I sobered up for a couple of years. I moved up when I moved here in 2021. And, you know, life doesn't offer you a whole hell of a lot of fun when you don't get to drink anymore. And all of a sudden they made weed legal. Thank you.
And so then you like
cannabis. I don't even like it that much. I don't smoke that much. I'm not in Merle's League at all.
You're not in Merle's League.
I like
League.
To cop a little buzz after dinner, right?
Sure.
You know, but I mean, yeah, I really love these things.
Okay, well, I mean, this is awesome. And now you said that you just moved here not that long ago.
That is correct.
And you love Winona.
I am from Racine, Wisconsin.
You're from Racine, Wisconsin, okay.
The story goes, and I've told it out at the beer garden, you know, I'm really quick at it. I've gotten good at it. My mom and dad were from Winona, Minnesota. They were born here. They were raised here. They grew up here. They got married here and moved to Racine, fucking Wisconsin. For my dad's job on the Milwaukee Road.
Okay.
He wanted a job where he could come home every night instead of being out on the road. So he got a job, but you can't have that job in Winona. He was too young. And so we all are from Winona, Minnesota, in our hearts. They brought me up to Winona when I was 5 months old because, you know, they're living in Racine, Wisconsin. They got a little baby. They want to show him off, and it was an eight-hour drive on the two-lane highways. As you and Stephanie are finding out, sometimes the little angel travels nice.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. I think around Toma, you know, they're getting up to Toma and they're thinking, maybe we're rethinking this parenting thing, you know? My mom's already pregnant with my little brother. I couldn't have been that bad. Okay. But I've been coming up here ever since I was 5 months old.
Okay.
I came up here when I was eight and got to see the 1969 flood. I mean, these are things, you grew up here, right?
Yep, sure did.
You know, and so, and I'm guessing that you could get on a bike and go be anywhere in town you needed to be.
Just as like far that. As I know, except for going up to Garvin Heights, that would have been a pain.
There was a key, I read the Winona newspaper project a lot. I just found out about some poor kid who died when he was like 11 years old riding his bike down Garvin Heights.
Ooh.
I mean, there are people who will do it. There are people who do it, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, you've probably interviewed people who do that sort of junk.
Well, not someone that bicycles, but I have seen people going up their bike up the Garvin Heights Hill, and that does not look fun.
It's not fun, but I mean, I could do that if I had to.
Have you had enough of these?
You'd fly. My old man's first car was nowhere near as nice as any of these. It was a 1929 Model A.
Okay.
And he bought it. He said I was just a stupid kid.
Yeah.
And the guy says, well, $50, here's your Model A. And my dad says, I don't know how to drive it. I'll teach you how to drive it. And he drove it up to Garvin Heights, rode the brakes down all the way until they were smoking, and said, that's how you drive the damn car and all of that. But I just envied, you know, the fact that you just had all these cool buildings.
Yeah.
You have this awesome river. You can go up in the bluffs. Well, there was a time when we were little kids, my mom took us out to her favorite place in the whole world when she was growing up, which was Farmer's Park out by the Arches.
Yep.
You know, you didn't have any of this crap growing up in suburban Milwaukee.
Okay, so suburban Milwaukee, that's where Racine's by.
Yeah.
Closest one. Yep. And yeah. I've been to Milwaukee, so I understand what you're talking about.
Oh, Milwaukee itself is a great town.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't, I'm not whining that it worked out badly for me, because Milwaukee is really a fine place to visit.
I found some good breweries down there a couple of years ago.
We do have that going on, alas. But it wasn't this. It wasn't Winona.
Sure.
We would come up here, and I would just like wander off and wander around downtown, walk down the railroad tracks, try to make sense of all the buildings down there.
Sure.
And just, and so it was kind of a no-brainer when I retired from my job in Springfield, Missouri. I decided that, you know, I thought about living in Milwaukee again, thought about living somewhere in the Driftless, but I knew I was going to come here.
Okay. And, you know, I absolutely love the history of Winona, too. I don't know a lot of it, but I love a lot of the history. I like the downtown area. I do like all the, I feel like every building has a story behind it.
Oh, it does. It does. I mean, the story that the building that your old man used to own, I forget.
The Kensington. It used to be called the Winona Hotel. And then something before that, I believe. And you know what's funny? Is when he owned that, he actually had the abstract that went all the way back to 1800s.
I would kill for a look at that abstract.
It's he might still have it, or else he gave it to the new owner.
He probably did give it to the new owner, because I'm sure the new owner loves that kind of stuff, too.
I'm not 100% sure, but if we have it, I'll let you take a look at it, because I think you'd enjoy it.
My house is in Knob Valley. Okay, so okay. That abstract goes way back to, Effie sold it to Abraham. You've looked at a few abstracts.
I have, yes, within the real estate. They've kind of gone to the wayside now, though. Which is...
do people keep the abstracts anymore?
Not usually, but some people, if they're older, they like to have it, and then they give it to the next person, and if you want to get it updated, you most certainly can. But I think everything's pretty much digital now, so...
Okay.
It's just easier to find, but it's cooler to have the abstract, just something in your hand.
Well, there's just so much... There's this perception, I guess, Chris, that, to be historical, it's got to be in a book and it's got to be really old. And, there are people who don't like history out there. I can't imagine it. Right. But, what we were doing at the trivia last week, that was history. I mean, I had some of the, I was sitting up there and all these great questions are going through my mind that I couldn't think up when I was making up the trivia questions. Sure. Like, why are the lights turned off on the bridges this month?
Because of mayflies.
Very good. They probably would have gotten that one.
If I get it, I always say it's a social for the most part.
They were having fun with history. You could just see them, racking their minds to come up with some of the answers to these dumb questions and stuff like that. I said, you don't know this, but you're actually interacting with the history of Winona, Minnesota.
Right.
And you don't even know it.
My dad loved last week's trivia when you were hosting it, because I think it was like about 2/3 of the questions were history of Winona, and then there was about 1/3 that were just general knowledge, and I think we took second.
Well, you did, and he was one of like two people who had their own theme question in there. You weren't there.
Was round one. I was at softball.
Okay, and so what I did was I said, this question is for you, Rich Jacobson. I told him on Facebook I was going to write a question for him.
Sure.
And I said, let's see how you do with it, Chris. Well, it's not an it was very close to an antisocial. Winona is home to one of Minnesota's very extremely few Egyptian revival buildings. It's on the National Register of Historic Places.
Okay.
And it's right here in downtown Winona, an Egyptian revival building.
Egyptian revival
building? I didn't even know there was an Egyptian revival.
What does an Egyptian revival even mean?
I didn't explain that at me.
Okay, so I'm just going to guess the Choate Building.
No, it was not the Choate Building. It is the Winona National Bank.
Oh, sure. It's got the pillars and all that.
And you even got that's how you tell.
Gosh.
This is how it works.
Yeah.
It's just like, you don't feel bad. Oh, but you ignorant boob. It's just like, holy shit, Egyptian revival.
That is true. That is.
Told this to Father Ahrens over at St. Stan's. We were doing an open house. The Historical Preservation Commission was doing an open house at St. Stan's. And I said, that's Egyptian revival. And Father Ahrens just like,
how do you know that?
it was a very short trend.
Sure.
But just walking around, I'm sure you've wandered around in that building, right?
In Winona National?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in there and you see the old safari
there
stuff
you go.
In there. And yeah, the old animals.
I found that completely by accident 2 years after I moved here. I just museum upstairs. Okay, I'll go up. Wow. You know, just all these hidden, really cool things that just, you walk around Winona, Minnesota, and you can see these things happening.
Yep. And this is one thing. What, you know, one of your questions was, what does Winona stand for? And its firstborn daughter, I believe, in the Native American. And I always just found the Winona history fascinating. And I think it's because I grew up here, because I was born at Winona Health.
Okay.
And then now my daughter just was born there, too. So I've been here for my whole life. And I always just found the whole history of the river, because I love going on the river. I just found the downtown very interesting. And then I always wonder, like, if I was around back in 1920, what would it be like going somewhere downtown where I'd normally go?
Yeah. Right. I wonder that all the damn time. Do you know there's a fellow here who lives downtown? His name is Jim Murphy.
I know Jim. He owns the Blooming Grounds building.
Holy shit, is that guy a trip?
Is he?
I mean, he's just really great. He gave me this just really unbelievable map of downtown Winona that was, as a realtor, you'll get a kick out of this, drawn by Bob Silover.
Okay.
It was not necessarily drawn by Bob Silover, but Murph found it in Bob Silover's old office out at the back of Blooming Grounds, right?
Sure, okay.
And it tells you what business is in every business space. I mean, he didn't have it all in the back of his head because there was just so much of it going on downtown in the 60s.
Sure. But this is in the 60s the map was from? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Murph had this cool map from the 1960s. But what Murph said to me, the point is that Murph said, he says, you know, he was pointing out to me a couple of old pillars, iron pillars behind the Blooming Grounds that he snagged when the Islamic Center burned down.
Yep.
And he had them dragged off and back there. He saw me looking at him. He pulls up in his truck and he starts talking to me. And he's explaining this stuff to me. And then he says, man, I should have been alive in the 1890s. And I said, yeah, you really should have. That's my sweet spot, the 1890s. And you don't have to live there. It's fun just to visit and go by.
Okay, now give me an example of the 1890s in Winona. Because I know you do a lot of storytelling.
Yeah,
right?
I do.
Is it from that era or is it from all eras?
It's from all eras.
Okay.
I do stories by request.
My request is an 1890s Winona story then.
Okay.
Because I think that would be kind of a cool time to be around. I mean, you're talking no cars.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking no motorcycles. Boats are about the only thing. No airplanes.
Boats
are different, yeah. You're talking like a steam engine.
Well,
at best.
Yeah, there were also not a lot of cops. There were also not a lot of places to have fun. There were not an awful lot of places where young men and young women could have fun together. In the 1890s, young women were not expected to have fun at all. I mean, you're the father of a daughter now. You're getting ready to guide your little girl on the road to womanhood and all of that. And she's going to have so many cool options, and she can do whatever she wants. But it wasn't that way back in 1890. You stayed home until you married Mr. Wright. A guy could get out and have some fun when he wasn't working or something like that. And then you got downtown Winona with cops, and you've got like this frontier town going on. It's just people are getting shot and stabbed and having fights and all that. But I want to focus on what young women and young men did to have fun, because they're going to find a way.
Sure.
It happened that this was a time when women could not drink in bars legally.
Okay, so they couldn't go into bars and drink, but they could drink at home.
They did. Well,
they could. Was it illegal for women to drink?
Women couldn't do anything that was fun.
Okay.
I'm not kidding you. I mean, there were women who liked to drink back then, and they found their booze the way we all do.
Sure.
But no. You're supposed to be save yourself for marriage to your lord and master and wear yourself out having kids and taking care of them and stuff like
that.
Sure. But, you know, it's not really that way. They had what they called house parties. After hours parties in Winona. And some of them were in bars.
Okay.
They would shut down the bar and they would say, party time. And Winona has in the 1890s, like 13 cops.
Oh, that's pretty easy to get away with things.
And they get, and they don't work all at the same time, and they go by foot most of the time.
Sure.
You know where that, it's on the corner of 2nd and High Forest. 3rd and High Forest.
3rd and High Forest. You're talking about Sloppy Joe's?
The gas station. Not the gas station, the car lot, that creepy-ass car lot.
Actually, we had that listed for Bobby Fort. He's the owner of it. It's Mankato
well,
and 3rd.
Well, of course you have listed it.
Yes, Mankato and 3rd, though, not High Forest.
Oh.
It kind of exceeds it, but yes.
It does. Yep. I'm talking about the corner on High
yep,
Forest.
Yep, I know what you're talking about, though.
Wow, the guy has a name. I know that they used to fix cars there all the time.
He just sells them.
Now he just sells them. But I'm saying that way back in the day, when I walk around there and talk to folks, you know, they say, oh, yeah, you could hear they're working on their cars and all. There was a bar there in 1890. It was called Kovaleski Saloon.
Okay. I feel like Merle talked about that on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Okay. See, Merle and I have been reading stories together. We're in our third year of reading stories together. I have an encyclopedic knowledge of his stuff, and he knows mine pretty damn well, too.
Okay.
You know? So we both talk about Kovaleski Saloon. But Kovaleski was, you know, this guy was tough as nails, don't screw with me, you know, everybody pays cash in my bar.
But, what other option was there?
You could run a tab.
Oh, okay. But eventually you got to pay the tab.
If you have the money.
I suppose.
I mean, this is, no, Chris, this is 1890s East End. This is, you know, you're amongst the Poles and the Bohemians and the Germans and all that stuff, you know. So Kovaleski runs a clean bar. Kovaleski is on the school board in Winona.
Okay.
He's also on the board of St. Stan's Church. But every night at bar night, it's party time at Kovaleski's, and the animals come out. You know, all of the ladies of the night come wandering. Now, I can't talk about the prostitutes at this point, because that's just a completely kettle different of fish. But, I mean, it's not prostitutes. It's free agents. It's young women who want to get out and meet some young men and dance. And Kovaleski's was the place to go for a dance.
All right.
And, well, one night at Kovaleski, I have a variant of this story in which it's kind of a take on my weekend at Bernie's.
Okay.
But I'll skip that one and just say in 1891, there was a famous murder case that took place in Winona, June of 1891. Where it was at one of these parties after hours, the cop who was on duty, supposedly shutting this place down, was a guy by the name of Vince Kukowski. Vince Kukowski was really down the alley having a conversation with a woman named, I believe, Belle Johnson or something like that. Sure, her name was Belle Johnson. Sure, they were having a conversation. I can point out the spot in that alley where it had to be. The cop who is supposedly minding this, well, one of the cop's buddies says, hey, that's Vince in there with a hooker. Vince is in the hang with a hooker. Let's go spook him. Don't do stuff like that, because what happened is Vince pulled a gun on him and shot him right where right at the corner of 2nd and High Forest. Just shot him down. And I mean, the prostitute just takes off running and stuff like that. That's the way Winona was back in those days. It was a great big huge trial, you know, and the funny thing was Vince was found guilty. Well, he was obviously guilty. Everybody saw him do it. And the Polish community of Winona signed a petition to get him pardoned because everybody liked him.
They liked Vince
so much. It was just, It was kind of like a zoo down there.
Sure, it sounds like it.
When they were building St. Stan's, for example, everybody says St. Stan's is a really beautiful building. It's 130 years old today. This year. It's going to be 130 in November. Thanksgiving Day. And all of that. Everybody says the church. But the Polish people were fighting each other in the streets. They couldn't agree on what to do about, the ladies, the Polish women were so crazy that they were banging on the walls of the convent screaming at the nuns because they thought the nuns were actually Germans. I mean, it was just a really wild word, and you don't have to know about all the wildness, but boy, the east side is different. How do you explain the hog line to people?
I kind of understand what the hog line is, but I'm not 100%. Like,
nobody is 100% sure what the, not even the people who live there.
Were they hog farmers?
No. I have it in my car. I almost brought it in. It's a container of, it says on the side, Swift's Selected Pork Brains.
Oh.
Not just pork brains. Selected pork brains made in Winona, Minnesota.
Gotcha.
There was a, in 1912, they put in a packing plant on the east end of Winona. It was purchased by Swift in 1928, which is why it's known as the Swift plant. But basically, the animals would come in, the cows and the pigs, and would come in down the street and become meat products.
Sure.
Right down there in Winona. And this is one explanation of the hog line. It goes back to 1910. I talked to a woman whose dad had the job of smacking the animals in the face with a sledgehammer.
What a job.
It's funny, Chris, but it also, you can meet people. I have spoken with people here in town who remember being in the, they come from the 60s, and once a year, you could go and see where your dad worked.
Sure.
If you had the stomach for it. Well, you went in these, and it's all, for whatever reason, women who remember these things, this older women who remember these things, they tell me that, it kind of turned their stomach, but they just realize that, our dad is really busting his ass for the family.
Right.
And they're proud of that sort of stuff. That's one explanation. I got another one.
Okay.
The second explanation is that it's Mankato Avenue. Mankato Avenue is literally the hog line. If you are Polish, this only applies to Polish. You're Polish?
Maybe a little bit. I'm a whole mix. Actually, I'm doing one of those ancestry.com things, so I still got to spit in the tube and send it out. So I'll know a lot more than, I think I'm probably more German than anything, but I don't know.
Well, you might have some Polish
And some Norwegian. I know that.
Well, get me started about that.
But I know that's why I got the Polish Museum, because of all the skis around here.
Well, and the Polish Embassy, right?
Sure.
But the Mankato Avenue has a rule that if you live east of Mankato Avenue, you can't get along with anybody who lives west of Mankato Avenue who is Polish. If, say, you live on the east, you live west of the hog line, and Stephanie lives east of the hog line, and you want to go out on a date, you do not walk over Mankato Avenue and pick Stephanie up for your date.
Okay.
Because you will get the living shit beat out of you.
Jeez.
If Stephanie has a brother, he'll beat the shit out of you.
She does have a brother.
And, it's his job to beat the shit out of
you. Well, he likes me in these days, so we're good.
Well, that's a good thing, too. And it's nothing personal. It's just a matter of principle. You're from the wrong side of the street.
It's like the original gangs, but they were from ethnicities.
But it only applied if you, you say, oh, that's Jacobson. He can walk. But, his name is, my mom's maiden name was Bamanek,
Okay, yeah.
Walk on the street. And it was really serious. The guys really, what, you asked Terry over at the athletic club.
Oh, I know Terry. Yeah. Howell.
Yeah, Terry Howell. Yeah. Talk about somebody who knows old stories. Terry does. But, it's, It's really just a mentality.
Sure.
It's just people who are really proud. They're not really rich.
So then Stephanie would have had to come to me.
And she would, there would be a line of guys on High Forest Street. And if she decided to go out, she could take a look and see, because there were going to be other guys doing the exact same
thing. Oh, gosh. So somebody just had to go get your ass kicked and then bring her back over?
You talk about the 1890s. There was a great, big, huge career. There was just a passion for ass kicking in general.
Oh, I'm sure.
Another story, 1874. You know where Chapter 2 Books is?
Okay, now.
It moved.
Yes, it did. Well, it used to be downtown.
Right.
Right by, between Herbert's and Gerber's and the Kensington,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and Daryl finally got the hell out of there.
Yeah, I used to buy books from him, and then I'd read them in the sauna because they would just get terribly, corroded. So I didn't mind buying a used book. Now, where is it at now?
125 East 3rd Street.
Okay.
Which was in 1874, the tavern/grocery store of great grandfather, Martin Babinek.
Oh, really? Okay. So it was a tavern and a grocery store.
Taverns and grocery stores went together in Winona.
Like peanut butter and jelly.
Well, the thing is that is usually the same family. Mm. In Winona, it was very, very common to have a twofer, and my grandfather did one doorway for the tavern, one doorway for the grocery. The grocery was open one Sunday morning, and the tavern was not. These two tramps came up to my grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, and said, "Let us in. We want a drink." My Martin says, "No, it's Sunday." Guy pulls out a penknife. Sticks it in my great-great-grandfather's arm.
Jeez.
He pulls it out, and goes to town on one of the tramps. My great-great-grandfather almost got killed, but it was, people got killed. They got shit broken over their heads all the time.
Well, yeah, there's only 13 police officers.
Well, and it's hard to think of Winona. Let's be honest, Chris. My beloved wife loved Winona. She is buried here now. She passed away in 2011. She died from metastatic breast cancer. She thought Winona was beautiful, but her favorite thing about Winona was going to Valley View Mall in La Crosse.
And now that mall is pretty much dead, too.
Oh, God, have you been there?
I've been by there.
I actually ate in the Hoo Hot. There were like...
Oh, yeah, we go there every so often.
I love Hoo Hot.
So
but
do
I mean, it's so sad because, it's grim.
It's getting taken over by all these places like Hy-Vee's there, which Hy-Vee obviously does a good job. Everything always is clean there, but it's not really even a mall anymore. It's... there's I think American Eagle still surviving in there, and
it's just heartbreaking. But when it's 90 degrees outside, I got to get some steps in there somewhere or another. And it's like the Winona Mall too. You'd think that it was a piece of junk, blah blah blah. Oh, you go on Facebook, people still have memories of the Winona Mall. They still want to talk about the Winona Mall.
Yep, I still have memories there too.
Well, and they. Take for example Lourdes Hall.
Lourdes, yeah, okay.
I mean, you're a realtor. I mean, you and your man, you've been in this business forever. You know all the stuff that's happening, and I obviously don't. That's fine, but people are just really, really just hurt.
People really do seem to love the history of Winona. And I found that up because there's this big petition going around not to tear down Lourdes Hall.
What?
There's a petition supposedly online that you can sign. I don't really know. It's probably just type in your name to not tear it down because Cotter's going to put up a field house, I think, is what's going on. And some people hate that because there's history there. But, again, I don't even think it's been used in a while. So,
you have a specific viewpoint, which is really instructive because, there was some talk that it was somebody, Abramson, right, was going to get it, was going to buy it.
Yeah, wanted to, yeah.
Yeah, but, I don't know. I know he has a track record. He's got money. He's got resources and stuff like that. Do you think that it would have worked?
I have no idea. I don't know what would have been become of it. Maybe apartments, I guess, because that's the only logical thing. And Brady does apartments in town as well. So he would have probably turned it into apartments and still kept the history of it, because he owns a couple other buildings downtown here as well. And obviously, when you're downtown, you have to keep the history here of it for the most part. Unless it's – obviously, if it's historically landmarked, you can't do much to it, or you have to ask the National Historical Landmark company or whatever committee. But he owns some of the older stuff, so he would have probably been a good fit to have that if he had gotten it as well. But I don't know the process for that whole situation.
Well, I mean, I know a little bit of the process being on the Heritage Preservation Commission, you know, because I know people half the time don't even want to apply for the National Register for exactly the reasons you said. And I know that the Sloggy family feels especially strongly about this sort of thing, because, you know, say, hey, this could be on the National, you know, people want to put the Chapel of the Angels on there, you know. But they care. They care. When the two churches were closed down this year, you know, St. John's Catholic Church and St. Casimir's, you know, there's hurt because they're losing a sense of their piece of their history. I just...
Sure.
And it's nice to be able to offer them something fun and helpful that'll help them, you know, deal with that sort of thing. Another thing I love about Winona is the cemetery walk.
Oh, I absolutely love that. When I was teaching, we would go there every October. I loved listening about the history of Winona. And that's one of the greatest things, is tried to bring it to life, if possible, with obviously actors and actresses from now. But it's really fun because they actually dress up. They have history behind it that's factual. And obviously it's not about really big national things, but it's things that have happened here. And people have come from far and wide and have made big national things happen from Winona that some people don't even know about.
Somebody will be contacting you from the cemetery walk. You would be a great actor.
And I kind of want to do that because I love acting.
Let me... really, Chris?
Yes, I do. I do. I love being in front of people.
You never fail to surprise
me. And see, that's the one thing. When I was teaching, I would take them there, so it wasn't exactly easy. But now that I'm not teaching anymore, now I'm just strictly into real estate and rentals. Now I might be able to do that on those couple days.
They could use you. Yeah. They could use you. And I have done it for 4 years.
Yeah, I know, and I saw you there this past year, because I only met you like a year ago at Trivia.
Well, yeah.
And I said, hey, Joe, how's it going? And obviously, why wouldn't you be there? You love the history of Winona.
Well, they're always looking for actors.
Yes, I know that.
And, you know, you would, you know, if you know other people, you know, talk your dad into it. It's not hard. I can do it, you know.
Joe can do it, everyone can do it?
I would say so, yeah. You just want to walk out and start running your mouth. I mean, I did that for a living for 35 years, right?
Well, what was your job specifically before you retired?
A college professor.
College professor. So you just ran your mouth all the time.
Yeah.
I love it.
Talked in other people's sleep. Oh, man. Well, you know the drill.
I know the drill.
What grade did you teach?
7th and 8th mainly.
Okay. And what did you teach?
American history, some math, health, and then PE.
Dude, my hat is literally, I got a receding hairline. it's completely off to you, because my goal in life was, when I was a kid, was to be a history teacher. I wanted to be a high school history teacher. Then I found out I was going to have to coach, and I was not a coachy kind of guy.
Sure.
Or a jock, you know. And history teacher is a jock job. It just is.
Sure.
And the other thing was, man, I knew what kind of a junior high student I was. I didn't, you know, anybody who would willingly get a degree to teach junior high school kids anything is worth taking my hat off to.
So got to be honest, I actually enjoyed that age, and I would enjoy high school too. I like the older kids where I can relate to them. That was better. Teaching little kids was just like kind of managing a lot of kids that are bouncing off the wall.
Oh, yeah, chicken jockey, right?
Chicken jockey, yes. So I want to go back to you now. You're talking about the historical the cemetery walk of the history of Winona, and you wanted to talk about that. Where were you going with that? Because I love that idea.
Oh, I was trying to recruit you.
Oh, well, you probably just did.
Okay, well, that's good, because, I mean, that is just such a wonderful experience, because, I mean, I liked doing it for my first year. I did every single skit. I don't know if you ever knew a gentleman by the name of Danny Pomeroy who once lived in this town. A lot of people did. He was a legend.
I probably did.
He was, your old man knew him. He was dying of cancer, and he was in the same skit as me. He literally died of cancer 3 months afterwards.
Oh, wow.
And I just learned so much from this dude's approach to life. But what I really loved most was seeing the faces of the little kids. This last year, I had this big-ass top hat on. I bought it on Amazon for like $8. I mean, it's made out of toilet paper cores, you know? And here I am acting my little heart out in this skit. I wrote the skit.
Oh, you wrote the skit?
Yeah, I wrote the skit.
That's cool.
That year. Well, yeah, because I made sure it was 600 words. That's another thing, is these are 5 minutes long.
Sure.
It's not great acting. You can memorize your lines. It's possible. And all that. And the kids wanted to try my hat on. They started lining up to try on my hat. And I said, can we try on your hat, sir? I said, okay, you've just been treated to some history, but they wanted, it was the greatest thing. I must have taken like 18 pictures of these various little kids, and you know,
yep,
how jazzed they were. Just thinking, yep.
They had no idea what she said. All they knew was your hat.
But they were having a great
time. They were having a time. Maybe so, someone learned something. Who knows?
You never know. But again, it's just like, Winona is just like full of these just things that you think are going to be cool, and they turn out to be way more cool than you thought they were going to be.
Sure.
You know, go ahead.
So what was last year? So who did you play last year?
I played a gentleman by the name of Alexander Doig, who was a Scottish guy who emigrated to America at age 16 with his family. And he volunteered in the Civil War, and he fought at the Battle of Chickamauga. He did his 3 years in the 2nd Minnesota, came to Winona, married a Winona girl, went to work for the railroad, and lived in Winona, and was a superintendent of bridges and buildings for the Chicago and Northwestern in Winona, Minnesota, which meant that he didn't design, but he built the arches.
Oh, cool.
The arches was a great big huge wooden trestle in 1881.
Mm-hmm.
They dumped gravel down into it and built the stone facings. He did that.
Cool.
He built the Winona Railroad. He built the passenger depot on Huff Street, and he also built the freight house, which is now home to Two Fathoms Brewery,
where we go at least once a week.
Absolutely. And that building has got some dang fine bones. It was built, I was playing the guy who put that together. And then for my other character, one of the other characters was Queenie Levesque. Are you familiar with Queenie Levesque?
I am not.
Winona's, let me school you, my son. Winona's iconic madam.
What was that?
Winona's iconic madam. She was a madam. She ran prostitutes out on the West 2nd Street.
This is starting to sound familiar from Merle.
Queenie Levesque.
Okay.
Her real name was Christine Cross. She was a mother of three. She was married to a loser husband who ditched her, leaving her with three hungry kids but no crop in the field. She had to support her kids. That's how she started supporting them.
Sure.
And one thing I just love about Winona is most people would be upset with the idea that prostitutes had been doing business in their town. I'm told there was a lady who stopped donating to the Winona County Historical Society because they were putting out that prostitutes had worked in Winona. Well,
It worked a lot of places in America and in the world.
And for how long? It's the world's oldest profession. It's called that for a reason and stuff like that. But Winona, people are just so cool about it. You know, they just talk about it in this matter-of-fact way, and they always mention, people will always mention that the ladies who are the actual prostitutes, they always stayed in their rooms. They never left their rooms at all except for to go to church on Sunday.
Perfect.
Well, if you were cooped up in a room for 6 days, Chris,
sure,
you'd go to church. I'd go to church. I know I would. And when they wanted to have fun, you know, after Prohibition was over, the ladies of the night would go over to Bluff Siding. They'd go over across the river and have fun in the bars over there. No, but they weren't working. They were just hanging out. They didn't want to meet guys. They just wanted to have a few drinks and be left alone.
Sure.
They were actually regular Winona people, just like you and me.
Just like you and me.
Just like you and me, and I think that's cool.
Now, here's a history question I have for you. I don't know if this is a myth or if it's factual. Al Capone got syphilis from a hooker or a prostitute in Winona and died from syphilis. Is this true?
He died of syphilis. I know this much is true.
Where he got it from?
It's kind of like holding a buzzsaw up to your ass and guessing what tooth cut you first.
All right. That's a great analogy.
Well, I mean, you just think, you know, Al's running prostitutes there. Sure. Anytime he gets wood, you know, I mean, he can, you know, send in, you know, I got to stop making jokes like
that's
this.
A good one.
But, did Al Capone come up here? I mean, or did he, in Pimlico County, they thought that Al Capone was running distilleries.
Sure, during Prohibition?
God, my mom's mother's family, the Pulaskis, they had a great big huge still knocked off in 1928. I mean, it was really happening back there, but was Al Capone there? I don't know. Was Led Zeppelin ever here?
Who knows?
Supposedly, there are people here who will tell you that Led Zeppelin was here.
Well, and I also heard this from my own family, is that somehow my grandma, my dad's mom, is related to Al Capone. No idea if that's true. Maybe the Ancestry DNA will tell me one way or the other.
Oh, shit. I did that a year ago.
The Ancestry?
Yeah. Because I'm kind of goofy about that crap, too. And it told me that I was about half English/Welsh, because my dad was Welsh, Scotch, English, and all that. And I was expecting to be half Polish or, you know, Slavic. There's some Scandinavian mixed in there because, you know, the Vikings were lonely. They had to find pretty women somewhere, and they showed up in Poland.
Sure.
And but I am also, I find out, indigenous, like one, the indigenous Amazonian.
Okay.
Be prepared. I mean, this really threw me for a loop.
Yeah, I might find something out weird.
I look at my mom and my dad's pictures. No.
Well,
maybe it was mom. I have no clue about how I was indigenous Amazonian.
Where would that even be located? In the Amazon?
Yeah, but I mean, indigenous. I mean, that's the original people who were there in the Amazon.
Sure.
And my question is, you know, everybody else, I'm 99.99999% European.
Except for that part. Except for that one part.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's where, you know, the history can get insane and stuff like that. But I think that the town is just a really wonderful place for somebody who loves history.
And it's cleaned up since, I think.
And it has.
Has it?
You've got some decent restaurants here.
Okay, well, I thought you were going to say, there's still a brothel down the street.
Oh, shit. I mean, my favorite. This is something that Steve Boland told me. You know Steve?
I don't know Steve Boland.
Oh, Steve is just, he is a wit. He's lived here all his life. He doesn't go out much because he's taking care of his elderly mother right now. But he was the one who told me the story about the El Cid rap parlor.
Yeah, and you guys had a question about that last week.
It just blew my mind that one, it was Merle Hansen and Steve Boland and I were sitting out in front of Blooming Grounds one night with Pirate Steve.
Steve Kukowski. Shout out.
Uh-huh. And did you know there's a book about him?
There's a book about him? I had no idea who wrote it.
It goes back to about 2016.
No kidding.
A friend of mine showed me this book.
Okay.
Done by the Trempealeau Boat Club or Fountain City Boat Club or something.
No kidding.
There's just all sorts of weird clubs that,
nobody knows about unless you're part of it.
Well, yeah, I'm not cool enough to be a part, and I only got to see two pages of the book, but Steve Boland was telling us that he used to hang around down by the steps, and I know I was talking with your dad about this building. And he said, he said it's haunted,
Yeah, that's the where the piece of the past is, right?
Yep. Where the chick is looking out the window and all of that. That was the El Cid rap parlor.
Yeah.
You would climb up that fire escape.
Oh, you climb up the fire escape? Okay.
The fire escape steps, you see them there, right?
Yep.
Go up to the second level. That's the only way you get up to the second level. And you go in there and you have a rap session.
What's a rap session?
It involves a towel and a happy ending.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Massage. Quote, unquote, massage.
Yeah.
Got it.
And Steve was such a little shit. He was would just be hanging out there to see who he could see, and he did. He saw his neighbor, Mr. coming down the steps.
I'm glad you gargled that out. So we don't know who it is.
Yeah, it was Mr. Well, shit. This happened to me in St. Petersburg, Russia, 2005. I'm traveling on the university's dime because I'm developing a class on, great empires. What I'm really doing is having fun. And I'm having fun going to Russia and all that, but I decided my feet were really killing me. I was going to sign up for a massage. And I'm staying in this really nice hotel. It's really ridiculous. And I'm waiting for my massage, and this chick comes, and she says, I'm giving you a massage. I'll be right back. She comes back in a leotard, and only then does it hit me that this was the kind of massage. I had an aching back and sore feet. All I got was 45 minutes of the worst.
Oh, gosh.
And I was telling this to a class full of students.
He told the story? It's great.
Oh, shit. It was the greatest job ever. Because once you get tenure, you can say whatever the fuck you want. I tell them anything you get out of me is a bonus. And this girl goes out, "You mean the happy ending?" And it was almost like chicken jockey for the rest of the semester.
Oh, gosh.
There would just be, the kids would make happy ending jokes and stuff like that.
Right.
But all of this stuff was going on right here in Winona. The cops one explanation of the prostitutes, the sporting women, was that if we don't have sporting women in our town, the conventioners will go to Red Wing.
Okay.
It was a point that lacrosse had them, Red Wing had them, everybody had them.
So Winona just needed to have some too.
Well, and again, it just gets back to, it seems like this place, they roll the sidewalks up at halftime and, in the evening and stuff like that. And yeah, you do got to drive a ways to get things. I mean, I drove to Onalaska to get these, right?
They're great.
There's just something that is just really magical about the place.
Sure. Well, have you ever thought about doing a podcast? I feel like you would have so many stories to tell.
Well, here's what you will be hearing from us. Merle and I have just decided this spring that we've talked about it for 3 years, but we want to do it. And really, your success with Brews and Crews has really inspired me to think, you get a wide range of people, you get interesting people. Some of them, they interest me and I watch them. Some of them, but I mean, you're out there getting these people in there. And I mean, I would love to talk about the good old days of AWA wrestling.
No kidding.
Oh, fuck.
My dad used to help out with the JCs when they would come to town.
I grew up in Milwaukee next door to a kid who, he was my best friend, you know, but I mean, we would have to fight every once in a while because I'd say, that's, you know, that's fake. And I knew. I mean, that would just turn him the color of your shirt. He was always good for a fight.
Yeah.
You know, talking about Balan von Raschke.
Yeah.
My mom knew the Crusher.
Oh, really?
Cool. He lived in South Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh, sure, that's right. Okay.
She worked in a convenience store across the street from his house, and he was a sweet, gentle senior citizen who took care of his sickly wife. And she called him Reggie.
Hi, Reggie.
He was the Crusher to me.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, you had these guys wrestling over in the, you know, Red Men's Wigwam and all that. You had Haystacks Calhoun and all that shit.
My dad said that back in the day, the JCs would help out. And this is before Hulk Hogan was Hulk Hogan. He was
in that circuit. He was. And he had kind of hair, too. And he was kind of a pretty boy for a while.
Yeah, he was. And then it wasn't until kind of, I think, when he got to WWF, now WWE, that's when they turned him to Hulk Hogan. But he's like, yeah, Andre the Giant used to come here, and so did Hulk Hogan, and Rock and Roll Zoom Off, and they used to go down to the Mississippi Queen and to the Nasty Habit, and they would be dancing. And
I just remember Buck Zumhoff, he was the dude who had the radio, wasn't he?
I think so.
And the radio was his friend.
Yes,
because
I think so.
Bobby Heenan broke the radio. I mean,
sure.
And it wasn't looked at as, you know, proper entertainment in some circles and stuff like that. But, you know, if I have to pick between the people who will go to, you know, these, you know, really Masterpiece Hall and stuff like that, if you gave me a choice between a performance at Masterpiece Hall or watching the Crusher and Scrap Iron Gadaski and Baron von Raschke wrestle over at the Red, you know, right next to where the Eagles, you know, in the Eagles parking lot.
Yep.
I'd take that every time. God, I would have loved to live
you need, back you then. Need to look up Rock and Roll Zoom Off or Buck Zoom Off. I think you got in trouble for some sort of sex crimes. I don't know if you read that or not.
I know, but I mean, you know, some of these people weren't really too tightly wrapped to start out, which is just part of the appeal. The one and only time I went to see him was at the Milwaukee Coliseum. My dad took me and my brother and my sister there. I watched a pregnant mother holding a little, maybe two-year-old baby run, screaming up to the ring, screaming obscenities at the top of her lungs.
Yes.
Just saying, like, wow, these kids are going to grow up exactly the same way.
So you and Merle are thinking about starting up a podcast?
We definitely are.
That's awesome.
The working title is Weird Winona.
Weird Winona.
Just celebrating weird things and weird people.
I think it's like when you guys talk about Winona, it almost feels like, you know, you get an album and there's the hit songs on it, but you guys know all the other things prior to death.
I like that, Chris.
You like the
I, that's really that's really that. Thank you.
Yes.
I mean, that is probably the nicest thing anybody's ever said about what I'm doing since I got here.
You want to hear the behind the scenes
stories? I like
stories.
To listen to the album.
Yeah. Yes.
You listen,
exactly right.
I grew up listening to the whole album.
And same here. Like, it was cool. Like, the hit song got me to buy the album, but then there were the other songs. I would be like, these ones I think are even better than the
and
hit
then,
songs.
Tell me if you've got the same experience, that now I'm experiencing music slowly off of either streaming or playlists or shuffling playlists.
Yep.
And it's weird to sit down and listen to an entire album, but boy, that's what we did.
Yes, because like a lot of people, you talk about Winona, they know, that's where Fastenal's from. Oh yeah, Watkins is here. But then you're telling the behind the scenes stories, I think, and that's what's kind of cool about it. Because you just told us at the beginning of this podcast, you're talking about Vince Kukowski and the prostitute, and he actually killed someone. Like, those are kind of behind the scenes stories that nobody knows about.
Well, that one gets worse because the widow sued the city of Winona, saying that the city of Winona, you know, this police officer should not have shot her husband. And she was, you know, the city attorney found that she had no standing in all of that. She then went on to marry a guy named Gilgosh, who used to run a tavern over at 929 Sanborn Street.
Is it the 929 Beer House now? Okay.
The bars have stories.
I bet.
The East Side Bar was called the Bloody Bucket. 100 years ago.
That's what you had a question about that.
A gentleman named Jim Data, who I hope is still alive, he was in his 80s when he was sharing this story with me a couple of years ago, was telling me his dad told him the story. And this is a guy who was, you know, like born in the 1930s, you know, in the, you know, this had to be right after or right before Prohibition. You would have, you know, wagon loads of guys coming down from Nodine and Plainview to the big town, Winona.
Big town, Winona.
Where they would have a few beers and get in a fight. You know, and basically, you know, the Polacks would be getting their old drunk and waiting for the farm boys to come down for their fight and stuff like that. And, I mean, you bled. You know, I mean...
You know what I need to do? When you guys launch this podcast, I need both you and Merle here to talk about
No. Consider it done, Chris. We'll be here because our plan is to basically, you know, have a seat here and set here. Yeah. We've picked out our first guest, and she's agreed to do it. I can't really name her because she's probably been having severed second thoughts every since. Hi, Roxy. And
No. Who's Roxy?
Roxy Coner.
Oh, of course. She's actually related to me. Actually, my dad.
One
She's a good
my,
singer, too.
I know. And a historian.
Really? Okay.
She is an outstanding... She has been of great help to me. We text each other, not all the time, but, you know, just like, Joe, blah, 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 blah. And I go right back to her, Roxy, what's this? I've written her into stories. She's a character. In stories, and she's going to be our first victim. But our plan is to, you know, have one seat here, and we'll put you when your turn comes up in the hot seat. And Roxy says, "Well, I'm just afraid I'll just say something, and people are going to think I'm weird." And I said, Jesus Christ, Roxy, you're going to one side of you is Merle, the other side of you is me, and you're afraid that you're going to look weird.
It's also called Weird Winona.
Well, so. It's a, you know, how long were you incubating this before you actually went ahead and did it?
I would say from October to January 1 when it came out.
Okay.
Yep.
Did you just know you had to do it? Did the vision just come up?
Well, I guess the vision for me was I love talking to people,
uh-huh.
and I like being in front of a camera or in front of people, so hence going back to the cemetery walk, that would probably be right up my alley.
It is right up your alley.
Right. So I was like, well, maybe I'll talk about, because it's Bruising Cruise, I thought it was going to be about beers and cars or something with a motor. It's turned into whatever way more different than that.
Oh, I know. And I love it. I mean, I saw the theme and the framework, and I get it. Alcohol, cars, alcohol, I get it completely, but it's just so much more.
It's just
another thing that just is more than you think it's going to be when you, I mean, and yeah. Winona is full of that.
And every week I look forward to my next guest, whoever it's going to be. I'm either going to learn something or we're just going to sit back and relax and have fun because you kind of never know what's going to come from week to week. There's not really a theme, I wouldn't uh-huh. say. It's just like last week it was about a lady came on talking about her podcast, Tesla Mitchell.
Well, and you teased that and it dropped when?
Just, last week from this one, but from right now that we're talking, 2 days ago.
Yeah, because I wanted to go back and, you know, and I will.
Yep.
But I figure, I'm just going to sit here and, you know, bring the coolers and we'll just see what we talk about.
That's sometimes the most fun and the easiest.
Well, it is. I mean, shit. We have plenty of things to talk about. I just got more shit. I got more questions for you, too, you know? I mean, whatever... prompted your old man to save that hotel?
Well, it was already an apartment building before then, so he just took over.
But they were going to knock it down.
When was that?
Weren't they going to knock it down, the Kensington?
Not since he had it, I don't think. He bought it in 2004.
Okay.
So maybe before that, it could have been.
Okay.
Because there was a time, obviously, between Kensington and Winona Hotel, which I don't know all the history of that.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be more fair. I'll pick on him. I'll pick on him for that sometime. But it's always just intrigued me to think of that gorgeous building, you know, just sitting unused for 10 years.
Sure.
It's.
I'd love to go back to it when it was a hotel, see what it was like inside.
I was there in 1968. I made a note of this to tell you this.
Okay.
Because I figured you'd get a kick out of it. Your dad would, too. You know, my cousin, Lori, who lives here in Winona still with her, the guy she married in 1968, and the reception was at the Winona Hotel. I was 7 years old. If it was 1968, I was 7 years old. And I was just so knocked out. It was like its own world. I can't really describe to you what I saw because I don't have the words for it. But boy, I'm seeing it right now. And it was so excellent. And it may well be that I wind up living there someday.
Sure.
And if I did, I would say, that's really excellent. That may be in store for me in 10 years. And it would be cool if I do.
I saw photos that were hanging up around the place, and I was just trying to envision where everything was and how the front desk was set up, because now it's obviously a commercial on the bottom where there's just commercial tenants, and then up above there's like 48.
No, I do that too. You know, yeah. Just try to figure out what was there. You know, go over to the DFL yep. offices, talk with Dick Dahl for a while, you know, and just think, what was this and all of that? And knowing that in 1891, when they rolled that thing out, they knocked down the Huff House. To put that, well, they didn't knock it. They tore it into bits and dragged it off. But it wasn't even called the hotel. It was called the Winona.
Yep.
And Winona was the fourth biggest. It was no longer the third biggest city. Duluth had passed Winona up by that time. But they just thought in 1889, that Winona was just going to get stronger and just gain momentum in the passing years, and everything was going to be wonderful. And the lumber yards died.
Sure.
And yeah. The town started going tits up.
Okay, yeah. The problem we have is that I-90 is so far away, I think, and we're way down here.
But once upon a time, no, you're right. It yep. is kind of a transportation. Well, I don't want to say that because of the port. But Winona was really, when it was the gate, they were calling themselves the Gate City in 1855.
And wasn't this almost the state capital at one point?
Well, not really the state capital. That was always going to be St. Paul. But it was the city that mattered, because if you were coming to the state of Minnesota to live or do business or to, you know, part of your life plan, you came through Winona.
Sure.
And the reason why, say, J.R. Watkins relocated his business here in Winona was he saw a town that was served by five railroads.
Okay.
You know, the river traffic wasn't as that important anymore, but I mean, Winona was a transportation hub, and yeah, it was a frontier town. It was a rootin', tootin', just chaos. And now it's not on a highway. It's not a, you know,
right.
It's like this, the town that puts itself to sleep every night.
I guess, well, that's true.
Not to me.
not to you. No, this place comes alive when you guys talk about it. I love that.
Well, thanks.
And now, as we're starting to wind down with the podcast, you said you had some questions for me.
Well, just questions about, you know, like, how long does the podcast go?
So here's one thing. Most people at first, I just went until whenever. People said keep them around an hour, so that's what I've been trying to do.
Okay.
Is keep them in that hour. Seems
well,
like about
it does
an hour.
It does me a lot of good to find out that you're winging it a lot of the time still.
Yes, and It's got to be relaxed. Like, don't come in here all stressed out. Like, come on in here, have fun. If we go 2 hours, we go 2 hours. If we go 30 minutes, we go 30 minutes. It doesn't, whatever. So I found that out because one time, I think it was episode 3 with Paul Ebner, the first time he ever was on here, we went like 2.5 hours, but my camera stopped at 2 hours and 15 minutes, and we just kept recording. So if you listen to the audio version, it's about 15 minutes longer. It's 2.5 hours. I was like, holy cow. And we were just sitting here. He brought in a bunch of beers and we were having a good time. So, but I've tried to keep him to an hour. So that's where I,
I got to say, I regret just a little bit. It would have been kind of fun to come on here with, you know, something else and, you know, just climb into the sauce because, I just can't do it anymore.
No, that's fair. And that's a lot of times people are like, well, it's Brews and Cruise. I go, yeah, and I've had people on here with water. Uh-huh. We've had pop. We've had THC seltzers, THC sodas. We've had bourbon. We've had tequila. We've had so many different options.
Well, have
you
ever watched Drunk History?
Yes, I've seen some of those before. Those are good.
Well, yeah, I would be watching with the girlfriend I had for a while down there, and she said, "Oh, but you know, Joe, dating you is like an episode of Drunk History." Gee, thanks, Melanie.
Perfect. Thanks. Appreciate that. Hey, you brought it to life, probably, is what it was.
Well, I taught Latin and my PhD is in teaching Latin and ancient Greek.
Okay.
But I really did enjoy that, but it was really kind of getting up in front of people.
Yeah.
And it was my showtime.
Sure.
And I got to do it
for
35 years. It was really a great job.
That's good. That's good that you loved it. That's good.
Well, I did loved it less. I loved it less when the lockdown happened. Now, when did you leave teaching?
Just this year.
Really?
Okay. Like about a month ago.
Wow.
Yeah, so very fresh.
Okay. And, I mean, I know you've got a lot of, you know, stuff popping for you. I know you're heading up to Sturgis.
I am, yes. You've been listening. Good.
Well, no, I pay attention.
Yeah, you do.
I pay attention, but I don't know. It's just really cool.
Yeah, podcasting is really fun, and for you and Merle to do it, you guys just love it.
It's put it this way, it's like a snapshot of what happened. You are a damn kid, sorry, and I am going to tell you wisdom that you're not going to listen to because I didn't either and stuff like that, but you're going to be a certain time, and you're listening, I know, is that you're going to think there was a time. I mean, I have no recollection of my job anymore.
Okay.
I was a professor of classics for 35 years, and I know what I did for a living. I remember some of my students. I remember them very fondly and all of that, but it's just all whoosh. It all just vanished in the tip of blink of an eye. And I'm hoping that the podcast that Merle and I put, and it's true of all podcasts, you know, take you right back. Yeah, that took me back. That's so 2025.
Sure.
I was reading this thing that was put out in 1993 by Watkins. I bought it for $1 from a friend of mine who, you know, does yard sales. And it's just fascinating to read the ads.
Right.
Reading an ad for the breakfast buffet at the hot fish shop. That's my definition of heaven. Breakfast buffet at the hot fish shop with all my favorite old Pollocks. Wow. And there are these little things that are just like trapped in amber. You're going to look at this. You're going to look at this 25 years from now, and you're going to rediscover it in a whole new way.
Yeah.
In 1996, they taped me teaching classical mythology.
And what year was this?
1996. They wanted to do a telecourse that they broadcast over TV. And you just watch the lectures and take exams. I didn't want to do it. They made me. This was taped in 19, and it's all on YouTube. There's about 75 hours of me lecturing out on YouTube.
On YouTube?
I had one class I did in 96, one class I did in 2012. The 1996 class, I was slender. I had brown hair. I was pretty bald, but I had a flame red beard. And I 38 hours of classical mythology lectures.
Oh, man.
That are still spinning on the internet. And I was still teaching this class in 2019 when I got up in front of a bunch of students who are coming to take their first exam. They knew me only as the guy on the YouTube lectures from 31 years before.
Oh, no.
No, it was only 21 years before. It was only 21 years. But I said, as I always did, anybody have any questions? Got any questions before I take? I'll take any questions before the test. And this kid, this boy, I mean, he's just like a freshman. He's sitting in the back of the room, and he's looking at him, and he goes, okay, I got a question, sir. What happened to you?
Jesus. It's too general of a question.
That was just so great, though. The kids are all right.
Yeah,
right?
The kids are all right. What happened?
But it was time to go. I'm just curious. Was this a decision in which you wanted to just be done with teaching, or did you want to...
Yeah, it was. It kind of was. My dad is always like, "Oh, when you know." Everyone always asks, "When are you going to start taking over?" And I would like to start doing that here in the near future. Uh-huh. And then just, I mean, it was 10 years. I did it for 10 years. Just kind of got a little burnt out of it. And
you do.
And we didn't have a gym. And then my PE is my area of interest.
Well, where were you teaching?
St. Martin's Lutheran School. So right now they're trying to raise money for a gym.
I didn't know that you taught at St. Martin's.
Yeah, so you probably saw me, if anything, crossing kids over to a park.
Well, no, the thing is that I am giving a talk on August 26th, and it was a talk that was suggested to me by a member of the Learning Club. I was talking last month to them about the old post office building at Wannick Hall in the History Center. And I said, if you've got ideas that you would like me to write about or talk to you about, please let me know. And I mean it, you know.
Yep.
I got a letter from a lady who lives in Fountain City who suggested I write about revivals in Winona, you know, with the tents and the preachers, you know, Brother Love's Salvation Show and all of that. And now I'm going to be giving a talk on the churches of Winona. God help me.
There's a lot of them.
I'm only going to talk about the old ones, obviously, but wow. And St. Martin's is so fascinating.
Really?
To me.
Okay.
Do they not have, is that the church with a bowling alley?
The old school used to have a bowling alley in the basement.
And yes.
And so that was the school that I first originally started teaching at in 2015. And I actually went to school there from preschool to eighth grade.
Yep. Okay, let's pause here, Chris. You're telling me you don't know necessarily a lot about history, but right there, that is, you went to the school that had the bowling. Now, I'm going to phrase it my way. You went to the school that had the bowling alley in the basement and became a teacher there.
Yep.
I mean, that, you'll have to come onto the talk. You'll have to come on and talk about that.
Sure.
Because that is just the kind of coolness, because that was just, it was a rumor until just now. That there, I thought it was down in the bottom of the church hall.
No, I don't believe it's in the church. It's in the basement of the school.
Okay.
I understand.
That's just as cool.
Yes. And actually, they probably have historical stuff at the church about that, too. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I think it was also another thing that I think it also was, and my dad, I think, was the one that told me this, is it used to be a place like a fallout shelter, too.
Yeah. You are too young for that, but it... If you draw a circle and then the three upside down yellow triangles.
Yep.
That's fallout shelter. When I was a kid, we attended St. Matthew's Roman Catholic Church in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, which our worship space was the auditorium. Let's put it that way. They couldn't build a church, so we had mass in the auditorium, which. You could look up there at Mass, and you would just see them right up there. Could you see the fallout shelter signs while you were attending service?
No, I was talking about the school.
Oh,
so
okay.
The school and the church are separate.
Well, yeah.
They weren't connected.
They were supposed to be separate where I went to, but yeah, dive. Stop.
Yeah, so I can't remember if I saw signs there. I feel like I saw signs at the school when I was little, but it, obviously the fallout shelter was, I think, for World War II, right? Vietnam? World War One? I don't know.
No, you could ask your dad about this, Sean. Miami. No, this is bad history. Yeah, Sean, yeah. I grew up in an age, you know, where it wasn't quite as bad if you were born in the 60s. If you were born in the 50s, it was really this way. That the world is half good people and bad. The bad people are communists. They want to take away our lifestyle.
Sure.
They have nuclear. And you got this drilled into your head from a very young age. You had a little kindergartner. I didn't. It was a little bit before my time. But, yeah, and when I studied Russian, when I was 40, I started studying Russian with a woman who grew up in Russia,
yep.
My age, and she assured me when she was a kid growing up in Stalingrad, she was from Stalingrad, she was taught the same thing about America.
Sure. Yeah, it's just a lot of media just trying to tell you which way to think.
Well, it is just a generation thing. I just feel really good that, you know, getting back to the podcasts again, it's just having these artifacts out there that you can look at. An artifact I discovered recently is on the Open River Project at Winona State University, which is another boon to historians, is this woman named, I believe, Joyce Woodworth.
She used to do a... She's doing a show on, I think it was HBC.
And I've been working my way through those. And it's just fascinating to see how Winona looked to somebody in the year 2000. Just like that Watkins thing is. I'm reading ads from, you know, Buyer's Restaurant at Highway 14 and 61. And now the pizza, you know. What a long, strange trip it's been.
Right. And, you know, the other thing I always think about is pre-2005, everything were Walmart and Menards. It was just all swampland is all it was. And Target finally came in 98, and things started shifting from the west end of Winona to the east end of Winona for shopping.
I'd like to talk about that some other time, obviously, but because... You know, I live in Knob Valley, and I come down there, and I think, you know, I still wake up in the morning and say, thank you, God, for letting me finish. You know, I'm not in any hurry to finish my life here. But, you know, I see that great big, huge Pennies, what used to be the Pennies. And that great big monstrosity thing there. And, yeah, Winona was lurching west. It was trying to grow west.
Yep.
And so And again, you're bringing into it, you know, the real estate perspective, you know, which I'm not really that in on, is just like, yeah, I can tell you, I did at the Learning Club 4 months ago talk about that great big frigging swamp. Basically, there was a great big frigging swamp separating Sugarloaf from Winona. And that's why it's so weird on the other side of the swamp. That's why you got shit going, like the Hot Fish Shop, which was bootlegging property.
Sure.
The Wind Teepee Cabins.
I've heard of those.
You can rent them by the month. You can rent them by the week. You can rent them by the day. You can rent them by the hour. You can rent them by the half hour.
Can only imagine what's going on there, too.
But the operator was a woman of high society in Winona, known as Blanche Hunter.
Okay.
She was known in all the best circles. She was a member of the Order of Eastern Star, which is basically the female equivalent of the Masons. And she had the Deer Hunter Special. The Deer Hunter Special was for guys who would come down from the cities during deer season, and they would hunt deer down in Winona for a weekend or so, and they would hang up at Blanche's place with a hooker and just do the town every night. And on Sunday afternoon, Blanche would dump a dead gunshot wound deer in the back of your truck so you could brag to the old lady about what a great hunter you were.
Oh, no way.
And this is the special Beyond the Swamp weirdness, and then the ultimate weirdness. The Black Horse.
The Black Horse.
I mean, I have had the great pleasure of becoming friends in the last year with Mr. Bill Kozlowski,
yep,
the former owner, and I consider him a great guy and a fellow historian and a storyteller. Once you get him going, like, you wouldn't believe. We're going to get his, you know, we're going to get these people on camera, the weird people from Winona on camera, talking for 2 hours if they need to.
Yep.
Or 15 minutes. If they got 15 minutes and it's good 15 minutes, we'll do 15 minutes.
That's right.
I feel better.
Yeah.
I feel better because you can just wing it.
And you know, the best thing is who can tell you otherwise?
You know.
If they want to listen to you, they want to listen to,
yeah,
you, no matter if it's 15 minutes or 2 hours.
I know. I mean, Merle and I have been doing gigs in this town for 2.5 years, and the worst part of it for me is always, it's not getting up and talking. I do that. It's hoping somebody just fucking comes.
Yes.
Would somebody just please fucking show up?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but getting past that, you know, you have a podcast. You've got somebody. They showed up. We're,
yep,
going to start talking.
And, you know, the thing is, even going away from the history portion, everyone has a story of some sort, it seems. It's whether they're willing to talk about it. And just the people you've already named are all fellow Winonans.
Mm-hmm.
And, they probably have stories of, from their perspective, or something like the Black Horse, which was a pretty historical place in our town, a place to go to.
Well, but I mean, it was owned by this couple. They were named Dick and Celia Campbell. Dick was, and this is all shit that Bill told me. You know, this is, I mean, I'm going to just mention it in passing because you really need to hear it from him.
Sure.
But, you know, Dick was a soldier boy, and Celia worked over at Watkins. She was about 32, 33 years old, and they got married and bought this little place called the Black Horse in Homer, where they started bootlegging. I mean, Prohibition was over, but there was still a lot of bootlegging in Winona going on. And running prostitutes. And for $2, Celia would offer to let you feel her tits for $2. I mean, they were just... But Celia was the one who got the idea to have horses around. She put up that freaking taxidermy horse.
Okay.
And then she went nuts. Then friends would start bringing her, hey, I found this horse and buggy, Seal, what do you think? And she'd say, yeah, I love it.
So that's the story behind the Black Horse?
That's
interesting.
And it was also, you know, just a tremendous amount of gambling going on there. When I was presenting to the Learning Club, this was in the Briarcomb room over at the History Center, that, you know, I said, well, Bill, what do you think? And Bill got, you know, he's sitting down there and just saying there were a lot of people, well-heeled people from Winona who liked high-stakes gambling. They have to go somewhere because gamblers will gamble. And Bill pulled some pretty bad shit, too, and he's been through rehab. He's very open about,
mm-hmm,
you know, his own life, you know, but he's come back from it, and he's sharing his stories with us, you know.
Yep.
He's not the sort of, you know, he, by his own definition, he is a hustler, you know. He's,
sure,
got a business. He's looking to make a buck and stuff like that. Well, I'm not good at that, but I mean, you know, helping, you said that, you know, it's like you said, he's got a really, really, really great story, and he's, sure, starting to push it out, you know.
Good, good. I think there's a lot of people that just need to open up because...
Well,
not,
he's a... Bill Kozlowski would be another wonderful guest.
And I know him personally, too.
Yeah. Yep. And he's also a recovering alkie like me,
sure,
you know. So, you know, he'll bring something.
Yeah. I see him at the Y, him and his wife. I'll see them at the Y.
Oh, yeah.
I think,
yeah,
I just saw him there this morning. He didn't see me. He was just in passing where I saw him down yonder. But I see him all the time.
No, he would be really great.
Yep. So now, before we end this, you go around and you do stories with Merle around Winona, is that correct?
Yeah, well, we basically the story goes like this. Merle and I were talking about it, always talking about it. And then Merle texts me and says, this is in April 2023. He texts me and says, I got us gigs at the beer garden, Joe.
Did you know what he meant by gigs?
Fuck yeah. We were always talking about it. We were always talking about it, but I'm not the type who would ever do something. I am a, you know, profound introvert. You know, I pass. Okay, you're the real extrovert. I can pass for an extrovert sure. when I need to. But Merle got us gigs. And then we started reading at the athletic club, which didn't work. Well, because it was like 100 volts of going through me every sure. time, which was fun. But I mean, we'd be talking, and all of a sudden somebody would put a quarter in, and the balls all drop in the pool table.
Oh, sure.
What do you think this is, a fucking dive bar? I'm reading high art over here. didn't work there. So, yeah, we read at the beer garden. We read during the summer.
At Peter's Beer Garden?
Peter's okay. Beer Garden. And then we have first Friday. Oh, yeah, this is first Friday. No, first Thursday at 6 p.m., and then we read third Thursday at the Winona Public Library.
Okay.
From 4 to 5. And Merle has other gigs. I have a gig at the Learning Club where I talk every 2 months. And my most recent one was the post office block. Before that, I did the whole Black Horse Dodge Swamp thing. I'm going to be doing churches in August, and in October, I believe, I'm going to be talking about railroads.
Wow.
Because I just figured, who's going to stop me? Nobody else wants to talk about this stuff. I found a place where I can talk about it. I'm going to start running my pie hole and talking about it. It's my homage, if you will, my homage to Joyce Woodworth.
Okay.
You know, it's my homage to Paul Libera, who wrote A Polish History of Winona up until 1955. You know, the people who have been writing and performing history in this town.
Sure. Well, that's awesome. Before we end this, is there anything else that we didn't cover that you would... I mean, I know there's plenty of things you'd probably
cover. Oh, we've got more
cover.
Shit we
yeah,
can talk
Yeah, but is there
about.
Anything that's pressing that you'd like to...
No. I just wanted to come here, and I finally got some time. I have just had so much stuff going on my life up until very, very recently. Had a lot of stuff going on in my life. I'm just really happy to be here. It's really good.
Well, I'm glad you're able to, and I look forward to the podcast when you and Merle eventually drop that out into the public of Wild Winona.
Oh, who knows? It's just like you said with Brews and Crews, what we thought we were going to be doing when we started this shit in May. Is nothing at all like we're doing now. I mean,
things change.
Oh man,
ideas come up.
I'm just shitting, just like a year.
Yeah,
shitting bricks. You know, Merle had his things that he was worried about, and I was just like, "Jeez, we gotta get people to show up."
I don't think you'll actually once people. I think what'll happen, because I feel like it's happened for me, is once people see how things go, they'll be like, "Oh, I could do that." That's always what happens is, oh, I could do that. And they'll come on and they'll have no problem talking to you.
Okay.
Especially when they think it's fun, I think.
Well, and that's the thing. And I mean, you got to really, we're not going to be, well, I suppose we could. We could go over to Merle and Cheryl's place and, you know, just
hit a joint and start talking. Yeah.
Oh, dude. Are we done? Can we shut the camera off? Or all?
I will in just a second.
Okay,
yep.
I'll tell you that's off camera.
Okay. Well, anyways, again, Joe, it was awesome having you here. I appreciate you bringing in the Tree Huggers Cannabis. Were they seltzers?
Yeah, they're cannabis, craft cannabis H2O. Not really can't drink extremely cold.
Yeah, this is really good. So most people might think that they could probably taste the possible marijuana in it. Can't taste that at all.
Oh, no. Although most of these seltzers taste like ass.
This one's
good. A good one.
Yes.
And there's also one called Wink, W-Y-N-K. It's cheap, $13.99 over by MGM at MGM.
Sure.
It's a cheap drinker, and it actually tastes not like ass. Perfect. It doesn't taste like bong water.
Well, thank you for bringing this in. Thank you for coming and sharing some stories.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
You're welcome, Joe. And for those who are listening out there, as the screen says behind us, share, like, subscribe, 5-star this podcast. Leave a comment if you found something very interesting, because Joe told us some really good facts Winona, Minnesota specifically. But if you're a history buff, you'll love this kind of knowledge, this kind of history. But this has been another episode of Brews and Crews. I want to thank Joe one more time. Give him a big cheers before we go.
Yay.
Have a great week.
Thank you.